Hi, this is Phil Lairness, sitting alongside my wife, Lily Lairness. As we travel through the third decade of the 21st century, it's good to know that the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions continue to produce a minimum of 4 hours of weekly audio goodness on Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. Why do you have that glazed expression on your face, Lil?
Too many numbers in that announcement.
Wow. Well, here we are, approaching Easter, and already we featured the joys of Patricia Tolmon, who seems to be becoming a regular on the program. And indeed, is she a record holder, having appeared as a stunt woman, covering both Nana Visitor and Gates McFadden, and others, of course, in Star Trek. Is she a record holder? And of course, being in Deep Space Nine at the same time? I don't know. Upcoming, we're even going to be joined by Armin Shimerman. How can we keep this Trek theme going? Well, obviously, bringing back the Dwayne of Trek, Dr. Trek himself, Trek specialist Larry Nemechek. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm so happy to connect your Pat Tallman to Armin Shimerman dots or whatever. Okay. Or even be the space between. I'm happy.
Yes,
I'm
thrilled. Exactly. This is it. I could actually hold up the official Patricia Tallman Babylon 5 memoir. That is actually an awesome book, Larry.
Oh, very nice. Yes.
Yeah, very good from that point of view. But she's been sharing her experiences, obviously, on both seasons and both series from that point of view. And indeed has basically said, Armin, you need to get on the Midweek Drive. So that's nice. You know, I like to feel it's spreading the word. So
very good. Well, I can, the next time I talk to him, if I have a reason to call him, or if I don't, I will say the same. So
you will bond. You will be fellow Midweek Drivettes. You know, it's like a sort of secret society for Trek folk. It's like the next level up, really. It's great.
Well, he's got reason to be out because he's got a new book, a new fiction book in his new series.
It is awesome. It's all about John Dee, Elizabethan practitioner, the time and period of Shakespeare, the quality that we've actually got there. Frankly, I could actually just read from it now, but we've got a show to do. So let's progress it anyway. I squeeze in one or two little snippets from that because we've got four fabulous individuals who are with us at present. Of course, Jessica Burtis is back with us from, of course, your country, Larry, by the Appalachians or Appalachians. I don't know. It's like tomato, tomato. Jessica Burtis.
Caribbean, Caribbean.
Yeah. I was going to show you guys. I have this little guy here today.
Wow.
I'm taking the role of having mugs today. So this is mine.
this is highly wonderful. Dad. Yeah, and for the benefit of the listener, because it is radio, Jessica has proven that she's reached Trek status. She's got an authentic Star Trek original series mug with Spock, McCoy, and Kirk on there. Do you know, I think I'll also take that and actually remove some of the other bits and pieces here and raise my own Trek mug to camera here with respect to the Bonnie there. Get, once again, original series material that's coming through there. Larry, clearly you have Trek material in every sense of the word.
Well, I have the planet of the blue dots here, so there we go.
the classic planet of the blue dots. And speaking of blue dots, Chloe Rose, of course, now she's taking teaching very much to heart. She's got a polka dot approach now in terms of overall design. Welcome, Chloe Rose.
Hello, it's great to be back on.
Precisely. Again, only a matter of, it seems like moments, as though we step through the Guardian of Forever and we move from one whole sequence in terms of perfect white right the way through to a whole new Trek world and environment. And we also have Rebecca Bond, of course, back with us as well. Rebecca, who's slowly but surely, Larry, following the footsteps with Jessica and actually beginning to unpick some of the Trek classics that are actually out there.
Oh, okay.
I am. It's only been since I've been part of the Midweek Drive that I've been introduced to the wonders of Star Trek. So I'm gradually getting there, slowly becoming a fan. So
are you totally picking from all across the spectrum? Are you trying to do a series of some kind in order? Or,
well, at the moment I've just been watching the odd episode here and there, but when I get time I will sit down and, you know, I'll probably start at the original, since that's what I've mainly been exposed to at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed it, but I might work my way through and eventually I'll have seen all of it. It's on my bucket list to watch all of it.
It's interesting in a time of a pandemic to say what you've been exposed to is kind of an interesting turn, but I'll take it.
No, I mean, you know, the Midweek Drive has exposed me to many new series and new movies, so yeah, I've been really enjoying it.
That's what you get for hanging around Alex. See, that's
there you go. Getting more cultured as the day goes by.
Honestly, I was this close to actually bringing on board one of our fine mutual colleagues from Scarborough, of course, who I think coordinated the Sci-Fi Scarborough event, where we, of course, first met, actually. But we're going to sort of hold fire a little bit on that. Life continues. Larry, have you been inoculated? Have you been vaccinated? Has it actually happened for yourself as yet?
No, not yet. Not for lack of wanting. California just announced that people in my age bracket can start in April 1st. My wife has, and she's had her second. And that was a week ago. So she's a week into her 2 weeks after her second shot. And she's feeling good. But no, it's really annoying. And they just announced this yesterday. And so I went online to see if I could go any place to at least get an appointment to take a shot after April 1st, and no go yet. So I will get there. What's annoying is that they opened it up to people 50 and older on April 1st, and then anyone over 16 can get it on April 15th. And I went, well, that's kind of a mad dash.
It's April Fools, Larry. April Fools. That's it. You know, you thought you were going to get the shot. Yeah, yeah.
Silly me. Silly me. This is called shut up and go back into lockdown for another year. That's all this is talking. I fell for it.
Yeah, exactly. After all, without lockdown, where would Zoom have been? I mean, we'd still be in radio studios, dialing up on traditional telephone things. This magical thing would, you know, it's all there. It's all there.
Well, I'm hello world, because I've been doing Zoom and free and virtual meetings for 5 years with portals. So, hello, rest of world. I'm glad you could come to this space. But anyway, but it's great to see everybody's faces. We are always on the phone before, so it was, you know,
except
so human
for that,
now.
For the occasion where we actually met in person. Quite a shock, but never mind. There we are. It's all there.
Concept, right.
IRL.
By the seaside.
Never mind. Speaking of which, we can now actually welcome another young man who's basically been all over the place in terms of Trek, a much beloved follower of Trek, of course, and who I first met at the Star Trek exhibition. As you can say, Larry, he's obviously decided to get his full background established on this thing. So as we sort of...
I was going
to
say, he's in orbit. I'm in orbit over this, but he really is.
Quite literally. Exactly. You know, you can talk us through that, as indeed can Chloe Rose, Rebecca Bond, and Jessica Virtus. We say, Paul Powers, welcome to the Midweek Drive once again. How are you, sir? Yes, he's okay.
The other Paul Powers.
Yeah. How are you doing? Sorry, guys. Nice to meet you all again. I was just... I was going from this to this because the audio quality I noticed wasn't great last time. So hopefully you can hear me well today.
If you look at the team, none of us are wearing headphones. Rebecca might have some headphones there, so it's okay. Yeah, Rebecca's got some nice earbuds there in keeping with the quality, etc. But other than that, we're okay. We're good to go.
Very nice.
Larry, did you ever manage to access the Blackpool Star Trek exhibition? Because that actually is still on my sort of personal Facebook site in terms of the chair, where I actually sat in that chair and actually did a little show from that one stage. Did you ever get over there yourself?
No, I didn't. I heard about the Blackpool shows and conventions, but not yet so far. I'll say yet. Not so far.
You'd have to go back in time, because obviously since then, all sorts of challenges are there, and most of it's gone back to Germany. But that's by the by, you know.
It was an okay. No, I didn't. But I may have seen, you're about an exhibition, I may have seen some of the pieces.
Yeah, Larry, I think you'd have to do a loop around the sun, you know, to go back to the summer of 2016, because that's when it was birthed. Okay. It lasted, I think, about 2 years, something like that. And it was set to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the original series. And there was plans to celebrate the, I think it was the 25th or 29th anniversary of Next Gen, but it never came to fruition, unfortunately.
That's because you left. So there we are.
Yeah, because I left, it fell apart. Yeah, I built it and then I left. Yeah.
So this was a studio sponsored exhibition.
It was, yeah.
I'd probably seen a lot of those pieces in some of the earlier. When they started here, and even I caught some of them when they were different places around.
Personally, the fact that I could actually sit in the captain's chair with Spike, of course, was basically sort of the highlight of the whole thing. I felt after that I could probably die a happy man. So what the hey with the vaccination? We'll just see how things go. Let's open it up a little bit more. Jessica, in terms of sort of generic questions, you're a novice as yet to Trek, but you've got your own Star Trek mug, which is excellent. So you're moving on from that point of view. What is it about Star Trek that kind of so captured your parents' interest in particular, and how finally they're showing great delight in the Burtis household, because at least their daughter, thanks to the fact that you did a year at the University of Lincoln, or at least almost a year, well, it would have been had it not been for pandemic time, etc., what is it that kind of appeals to you good stuff? And why should Chloe start watching Star Trek as well to obviously get involved with the whole system? And obviously we know Rebecca has.
I think Star Trek, part of what's so fascinating about it is that it's all about appealing to human curiosity and exploration, you know, going to the unknown. I think space, there's a reason why like shows like Star Trek and Star Wars become so popular. And because I think, you know, there's so much imagination that can go into it. There's a whole world out there. I think that with my parents, that kind of appealed to them. Like this little mug was my dad's when he was 10 years old in 1975. And so it's like, you know, it's something they grew up with. And seeing those characters, like, you know, it was something that they could kind of aspire to. And I think that I love anything related to just kind of like space odyssey type of thing. I love just that whole creative aspect of imagining something that could just be out there. I think there's really something beautiful about that. So Chloe, I think that it could be very just a nice, fun way to like, just, I don't know, zone out and go to another world. And I think everyone should try and watch one or two episodes of Star Trek, because I think it's so easy to get into.
And frankly, Chloe, other worlds, you can't get more alien than Cleethorpes. I say that as a visitor there. I mean, you know, when you're actually living in Cleethorpes, it's the equivalent of, you know, certainly the I would say probably Omicron Seti 3 in many ways. But, you know, maybe almost Omicron Seti 4. Oh, maybe what the heck?
Watch out for the pods. Okay, the spores.
Okay. What's wrong with the spores? If the spores were here now, Larry, we wouldn't have been worried about vaccinations. End of.
It's the way of the spores. Okay, which is the original name for this side of paradise.
Precisely. Larry, before we sort of speak more with Paul and his unique take on the animated series of Star Trek, which he likes. Okay.
You know, amazing. You know? Is that capital T, the animated? Because now there's two and soon to be three.
Yeah, this is true. Would you like to just solve the problem with respect to our mutual colleague, Patricia Tolman? Is she a record holder? Because it seemed that Robin Pierce definitely believed that she was potentially a record holder in terms of, other than Mark Leonard, appearing in more incarnations of Trek across the sort of routines. Or is that something which we still need to actually, the jury's still out on?
I think that, off the top of my head, Jonathan's becoming, and Marina are becoming separately famous now that you include... You got Riker and Troy on Lower Decks now.
Of course. Yeah.
And Riker was in the finale. Oh, spoilers, guys. And Riker was in the finale of the Ballyhooed, not finale of Enterprise. And then he appeared as Will Riker, or as Tom Riker on DS9. So I think Pat's been usurped on that.
Well, look, she's going to Hawaii. The next time we connect with her, we'll be in Hawaii. So, you know, we won't mention it. It's okay.
Don't let her. Let her know.
You may recall, Larry, when I was first encountering Lower Decks, I was, I was a little bit taken aback by the whole thing. I said, I thought if you wanted Rick Morgan in space, you go, I kind of came around to it, thanks to yourself. You sort of said, well, stick with it, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Paul, on the other hand, basically, you've loved it from the off.
Yeah. Am I on my own with this? I don't know. I'm a massive fan of Final Space. I don't know if you've seen that on Netflix.
I haven't. I mean to.
Yeah, it's so good. Very, very, very good. Very sharp, witty humor. And also Rick and Morty as well. And Solar Opposites, which is now on Disney Plus by the same makers of Rick and Morty. And some of the same voice actors as well. So... When that came on Amazon and I saw Lower Decks, I'd heard about it for a while and I saw a couple of screenshots and I was like, okay, you know, I'll see how it goes. And I put it on there and I thought, wow, that's amazing. It like, it kind of like brought me back into it reignited my love for Trek again, because it took a dip after the exhibition And after I left there, and you could probably get too much of a good thing, I think, when you're faced with it 7 days a week. But it brought me straight back in, and I was ready to, hungry for the next season.
Larry, I think Alex Kurtzman needs to actually take Paul now, beam him over, fossilize him in amber, and actually reel him out for all the sort of Trek fans who say Lower Decks is whatever. Anyway.
I think Lower Decks has got the record for the most whiplash effect of on fans that were like all prepared not to like it, and then were, you know, whether it was sneakily done or whether it just hit them like a time bomb, but people that were shocked to find out that there was Star Trek going on in this series when they didn't expect to find it there. I mean, I really saw that as a meme. Maybe it was just people going bonkers from the lockdown or whatever, but I really saw tons of people not only just saying, okay, it's okay, to go, oh my God, I didn't expect to like this at all. And it really sucked me in. So, you know, some people saying it's their favorite of all the new Treks, even. Some people say.
Yeah, I think I could take that point of view, definitely. Mm-hmm. I feel there was some elements of Picard that were, some of it was good, but it kind of dragged out a bit.
Of series in the 21st century, what basically used to be kind of one shot 50 minute episodes, they drag out. I'll translate for the benefit of Rebecca, Jessica and Chloe, because I know Rebecca, you have one or two questions either to put to our very own Trek specialist experts, Dr. Trek, and yes, his episode of Voyager will be considered in a future episode of Resonance Rewind. I haven't forgotten that, Larry. We will be actually putting that under the microscope. Yeah.
Okay.
Case people are wondering, Galt's Brain, episode of Wonder Woman, written by Arthur Weingarten, if you'd like to join us. Interesting one there, you know, for all sorts of reasons. But Rebecca, who would you like to throw a few questions to?
I mean, I'd like to ask both. I mean, we'll come to Larry first, but Paul, I'd like to know equally. How did you get into Star Trek? Because for someone who's quite new to it, I think it could be partially due to my parents are familiar with it, but not avid fans or anything like that. So to have discovered it sort of later in my life and to enjoy it then has been a great experience. So I'm wondering how you got into Star Trek and how you've, you know, grown to love it. And, you know, it's become like a big part of your life now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it did actually. It became a huge part of my life. Kind of almost by accident, really. I got involved with that exhibition. I can tell you more about that later. But going back to your question, I was born in 1981, so I'm almost 40 now, and
ancient, really. I mean,
I'm a fossil. Yeah, I'm a fossil. So I have memories of of a weekend, my mum doing the ironing and watching Next Gen, and me not really like taking it on board. But then I remember going into primary school, and a friend of mine had a stencil of Jean-Luc Picard's head. Which was very detailed, and then we used to stencil Picard's head and do these nice pictures, and then we didn't need the stencil after a while. We just traced them, and we used to sell them to the other kids for like 15p or 20p for a colour one.
Oh, cool!
5p for just pencil. So we used to do that at a really early age, and I think after that, it was the original Star Trek cartoon that really gripped me. And then it was the films. And as soon as I saw, I think I'm going to see some funny faces now, but as soon as I saw The Voyage Home with the whales, that was it. I was in. And I've been a Trekkie since then.
So you just sort of knew you loved it as you discovered it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. What about you, Larry? Is that similar for you?
I different place in time. I was just sitting here marveling, Paul, at how the post-scarcity economy started off with you by selling your Picard sketches to your classmates. I was like, there's something ironic or comic in that. No, I always go back to it was my ninth grade science teacher that was aghast that I was not a Star Trek fan. And so she was like, you go home. But this was the rerun era. This is pre-TNG. It was already into I'm a rerun baby. So it was like after school reruns here, and our local station had it at 4 o'clock every day. And I was aware of it. I know it was the show with the guy with the ears, but I wasn't in control of our TV. And my older, I remember watching Lost in Space on, you know, in primetime, Blur. But no, it was, I chalk it up to, now whether it would have happened eventually anyway, I don't know, but I remember that. And it was also the animated, Paul, the animated series was on Saturdays in first run still, or at least they were rerunning it. I could watch it and I was like, oh, I think I'll watch this as a cartoon and see what I think about, which makes no logical sense. But so I watched a couple of animateds and then said, I'll watch the original. I mean, I'll watch the live action. And I was, but the world building was what, I mean, I, the aspirational and the positive and all of that and the adventures and the characters, but it was the fact that after I realized they were keeping things consistent from show to show, I was like, that just blew me away. And then as I got books and magazines and read background, it was like, oh my God, they planned all this.
Well, I'm glad I jumped on the bandwagon because I've been, you know, wanting to for a while now, but it was only when, you know, I joined the show that I started watching them and really getting into it, and to talk to, you know, other people who have a passion for it has been really, really fun. So, yep, I'm part of you now. So,
It's amazing to me to hear you talk about I keep talking about the new Trek as like a big buffet because we'd never had this much differentiation before, this many samples. It's always been, here's a show, and it goes 7 years or 3 years, and then it overlaps or doesn't with another one. And you have these huge, you know, 26 episodes a year, and this little 10 in, 12 in, 13 in and out, you know, and now we're going to, here's a fourth one, and now a fifth one, and now a sixth one. And you don't get burned out on any one, and you're always left wanting, or hopefully left wanting more, or you're watching it evolve quickly. And that's a new thing. But to hear somebody say that you're like, taking one from column A and one from column B and one from column C is awesome. It's awesome. But I'm so envious of anybody who's coming to Trek like for the first time right now. It's just, it's like years ago, I heard a professor say he was sitting in a row watching, you know, like some production for the billionth time of, you know, Romeo and Juliet, say, and he's sitting there and he's all into the lighting or the stage production of the sets or something. And he's all into his head. And all of a sudden he realizes there's a little girl sitting in front of him with her parents. And he hears her say, oh no, Juliet's going to die too, or something. And he's like, oh, I wish I could.
Spoiler.
Yes. Sorry. But it's that fresh. It's like, oh my God, I'd love to be able to, because every generation, old or new, sees like anything, like dare I say it, Shakespeare, sees everything through new, sometimes not in a flattering way, but sees things of their different times also, and has new levels to bring to it too. So anyway,
it's been really fun, and to have, you know, so many different, you know, the original, the remake, the animated ones, it's really interesting to explore all of those. And as you say, it's fun for me to have all these, you know, at my fingertips just to watch, you know, especially during the pandemic, I've had so much time on my hands. It's been brilliant to sit down and, you know, just watch an episode and really get into it, which I've never had the chance to do before. So
it's just as well, Rebecca, you came to the University of Lincoln. If you'd gone to Anglia Ruskin, who knows what could have happened? You would have ended up with Cybernauts, different line entirely. There we are. Chloe, what about yourself? I mean, are you sort of, I mean, listening to this sort of routine, obviously you're in teaching as well as your singer-songwriter routine. Do you sort of think about Star Trek at any particular time? Is it something which impacts yourself?
It is, actually. I didn't grow up with it as such with Star Trek, but I'm always fascinated with the idea of like other worlds and what is actually out there. And that's what I wanted to ask, really. Larry and Paul, do they believe that life is out there? I'm quite intrigued, you know.
And coming from the planet Teethorpe, that's really impressive.
Either of you, go.
I think yes, definitely. But also, not only life out there outside of the solar system, but I also kind of feel like that multiverses exist as well. So. Yeah. Different versions of things happening right now on different planes based on what decision you make at a certain point in time. You know, I love that idea that even if I make a bad choice in this life, I kind of have that in the back of my head that somewhere a version of me got it right, you know, like, so that's okay. It was like, it wasn't my turn this time, but you know, I'm going to get it right in a different version of this universe. But yeah, I think
it's almost as though like you could be Alex Kurtzman and Rick Berman, the different versions, different universes, different tech experiences,
different slices.
Yeah, I can't I'm not like a UFO conspiracy theorist or anything like that. And the thought of aliens absolutely petrifies me, especially those grey ones. I hide, like when I was a kid, you know, thinking about them peering through the window.
I told you, Paul, we've got Armin Shimmerman on the show next week. He'll talk about Ferengi and little green men.
I'm so excited about the landing of the Mars rover, you know, and all that recently. For me, I hope that there is life out there, and I do hope that in my lifetime we do make some sort of contact with it in a peaceful way.
We may already have made contact. There might be one of us on this particular Zoom drive package who might be there. Larry.
Maybe Alex is an alien, a secret alien.
Yeah. Well, Chloe, as you well know, I told you, keep that secret between us. Larry, what are your thoughts on this one?
What's funny is the story about when Gene pitched the show, and in the early 60s, we'd barely had a space program. People weren't as geeked out, much less on real science as they are now. And we hadn't had as much exploration even of like exoplanets that, you know, real life class M's that can be out there. And he knew he'd read somewhere about, and we didn't have the internet, and he knew he'd read somewhere about a formula for determining the possibility of life on other worlds. And he just made something up, and he was thinking of the Drake equation, which had only been out for 4 or 5 years, but he didn't have time to go look it up or go to a library and find it. So he just made it up, and so now people
to science on his desk. So he always claimed. What was wrong with that?
Yeah, but that basic idea that it's the cosmos is so vast that, like, who are we to think that we're the only, you know? Now the odds are high, because it's interesting. In the years since, they've talked about why have we not gotten a signal even from any other civilization? Well, maybe there's a whole curve to civilizations.
Would you want to contact
so advanced
Donald Trump and say, "Here we are"? Goodness sakes.
No, but I mean, it's like they do self-destruct at some point. They get enough power to get out into the universe, and they don't make it. And so then Gene's whole take on it was the whole, you know, the Independence Day, good old, you know, the aliens are coming and they're eating us, or they're attacking, or it's V or whatever that whole thing is that by the time an alien civilization gets to the point where they can actually contact us, much less travel to us, that they have bypassed all that, or they would have self-destructed themselves. So that was always the comfort zone there. But I don't think they'll always be walking around bipedals with a Mike Westmore alien rubber of the week on their head, though. I mean, I think it'll be all kinds of, you know, hopefully idic filled, infinite diversity filled forms of life, maybe. Mm-hmm. Not everybody that's subject to like union agreements for how their residuals. But I think there's got to be other life. People say we'd be too arrogant to think we're the only thing in all this billions of.
Although there is that point, Larry, I sent you my comparison between James Cook and James T. Kirk, and they were both colonialists, and they both actually tret the Prime Directive with a certain amount of scorn. So there we are. I think even Paul actually saw that kind of debate that I put forward. It's interesting to see where they're going. And of course, Cook these days being completely revised. I mean, he just introduced gonorrhea to Australia. It's not good. It's not clever. Anyway, so it goes.
He just did? Wait, what?
Different
time
zones. Time
travel. Okay.
Simultaneous things.
Okay.
Larry, how can people actually stay up to date with your wonderful podcasts relating to Trek?
Oh, you can find everything at LarryNemechek.com. Everything under my Trekland umbrella. The Trek Files is on Tuesday from Roddenberry. It's very short every week, 15 minutes. And then I do two live shows a week, Trekland Tuesdays Live, which is about to have its 200th episode. And then on Saturdays, and these are all global, Saturday morning, which is 6 or 7 your time, when depending on the time shifts, Life Support Live, which is with my friend Dr. Ali Mattu, and we are going boldly through uncertain times. It's a mashup of Star Trek and mental health. But it's a lot of fun. It's not dreary at all.
We've got a certain chap called, I think it's Sussex. His first name's Harry. He might actually be able to actually, you know, help you on that sort of basis. I think he's taken up residency in California present with his wife. I think she was in a series called Suits. You might have heard of her. I think it's Megan something.
Oh, anyway, yeah. So, you actually had me for a second. I was actually into that before. Yeah, okay, fine.
Oh, contemporary stuff.
Montecito. Montecito.
Well, this, I believe, is our actually episode number 4,449. So going well over the last 11 years, etc.
Wow.
Meanwhile, in terms of podcasts, Paul, would you like to give a plug for your students' work at Anglia Ruskin and, of course, their Cybernaut scenario, which, of course, I gather that you featured a little interview with myself on talking about recently.
Yeah, and they absolutely loved it. They ate it up, and today they recorded a new podcast, which should be going live soon on YouTube. Hopefully they've taken your feedback on board.
No, they'll have ignored it completely. What the hey? You know, what does he know?
Yeah, so if you want to get in touch with myself, or you want to check out what the students are doing in the project, you can go to www.cybernaut.club. So that's C Cybernaut, you know how to spell it. And we're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Tumblr, YouTube, TikTok. We're on everything. Instagram.
Everybody's got a podcast.
Everywhere.
Podcasts for all.
Everywhere.
We'll obviously continue with our own sort of system, etc. Rebecca, would you like to ask the first question and Jessica can throw in the second question? Over to you, Rebecca.
I would love to. Larry and Paul, have you had an interesting Zoom link with us this evening?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's been great. I'd like to hear more from the ladies about you know, what they think about space and technology and gaming and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I'm not sure how much time we've got left.
I tell
left.
You what,
with only hours about that.
Go, as you bowled that through, we clearly need to set up another scenario. So,
definitely.
Jessica, what's the
definitely.
Other question that we need to put to Larry and Paul?
I think we know what's going to be, but will you both be joining us again?
Yeah, I'd love to, yeah.
Apparently, absolutely, yes.
Awesome. Very much so. We do it now, but unfortunately we've got the Chief Executive Officer of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra waiting for us shortly, so we can't keep Ben Cadwallader waiting. I'm sorry, guys. It's just the way forward. Add that Gene Bruce Scott from Airwolf and indeed Randy Reinholtz, and clearly, you know, that's the next step forward. It has been a blast, unparalleled.
Oh, well.
Larry Nemechek, don't forget, of course, the other thing you forgot, Larry, don't forget Star Trek the Monthly Magazine, or Star Trek the Magazine, where, of course, your column became better and better. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. For 22 years now, we've been plugging away. So, yes, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Alex. Yeah.
No, thank Paul, because he hopefully will continue to buy them, which is excellent stuff. So, Paul Powers, we salute you. Larry Nemechek, we salute you. Thanks to Jessica, Rebecca, and Chloe. Keep on keeping on. Live long and prosper. What do we do? Hailing frequencies closed. What do you say, Larry? What's the best sort of salutation at this stage?
I always say trek well, everybody.
Well, it is approaching that season when, of course, Easter literally just around the corner, and as well as the resurrection and Easter eggs and a whole variety of other aspects, well, why not actually start redecorating or indeed doing some more DIY, which is wonderful. But what about the waste that's caused by a result of the things you're getting rid of? And indeed, recent research by Hippo Waste has suggested that actually a fair amount of waste is ending up in landfill and all sorts of other areas. Now, surely the best person to actually speak to when it comes to dealing with the nation's DIY habits and more is indeed the extraordinarily wonderful, truly fantastic, and indeed gift to the universe, TV presenter and interior designer. It's Linda Barker. How are you, Linda?
I'm really well, Alex. Thanks for that build-up.
Linda, we know you're going to exceed all our expectations because that's the kind of quality individual you are. Now, let's get to the nub of the matter. You have also been busy over the pandemic with respect to dealing with your kitchen as well. So
I have.
How has that gone? And was it, as I expected, a huge success?
I like to think it's a huge success. I'm very happy. Yeah, like many others in the nation, I've been decorating. I think when lockdown happened last year, I decided to uproot and move properly 100% back to Yorkshire.
It is God's own country, Linda, let's face it.
Indeed, but Lincolnshire's very close, you know, very beautiful.
I know we're neighbours, but just as the great Yorkshire show has always been ahead of the Lincolnshire show, it's these things are, you know, they're there.
It's natural. I'm thrilled to be here, and we, you know, my husband and I, we bought a very rundown but beautiful Georgian house that needed everything doing it in it, including the garden. We put a new roof on it, we've rewired, we've done all the plumbing, everything. Everything needs doing. It's an absolute gift to me. Hard work, but it will be worth it. So I'm in the middle of it. But you're right, the kitchen's in and it's splendid. I think it's splendid.
And how did you relate to this research from Hippo that actually again suggested that it's all very well getting the job started, but what are you going to do in terms of tidying up afterwards?
This is so true, and it's very topical. I was really surprised because I've been working with Hippo, and they have done this research that made me aware that 12.9 million people are admitting to putting their DIY waste in their domestic bin. I was really surprised because we know how important the environment is. My goodness, we've been through this year, and we're all behaving much more responsibly, and we understand the impact that, you know, not looking after our environment, we understand what that has on our environment. It's terrible. So these figures were a bit alarming, but I mean, we can obviously do things about it. We've been very good at managing our kitchen waste, you know, getting all these special compartments. You know, my new kitchen has got, you know, several bins in it, you know, and so we separate all our waste and we're very careful about that. But yeah, the research that says that there's so much waste, DIY waste going into landfill is a bit of a wake-up call. I think we need to address that. And I know we will, because we're a nation that really takes things to heart. If we just know how to do it, it's made easier for us. So certainly, you know, going to the tip, the household tip is good, and they will recycle almost 100% of our waste there. But sometimes it's very difficult getting to a household tip. Maybe people don't drive, or they don't want to muck up the back of their car, or just these bags, you know, that they fill are so smelly. And so Hippo Waste, they've got a really wonderful website where people can order like these bags in various sizes. They're Hippo bags, they're called. They're bright yellow, and you fill them up in, you know, with your rubble, all that stuff that perhaps you don't think can be recycled, your old bathroom suite, your kitchens off your old door, your old paint cans, you know, broken ladders, whatever it is. They will take the waste, they send a truck through, and they will pick up that bag and take it away, and they'll sort it and they'll deal with the waste. So this is a really kind of intelligent way of thinking about the waste that we make in our own homes. So let's kind of put that message out there and make many more people aware of the things that they can do. And it's not a given that, you know, we do fill in landfill sites with our rubble and stuff. It's let's think about it in a completely different way. So I'm very excited to be working with them on this project.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's good for your home. It's good for the planet. It works on that system perfectly. Linda, one of the things that we've been arguing for a good few years with our tech people is that really when it comes to renovations and home design, what we really want is a virtual artificial intelligence which is branded as your good self, Linda, so that you can basically be called upon in a virtual sense for the Linda Barker app to actually work through that. It may well be out there at present, but, you know, it is important. But as we haven't as yet got that to hand, what are your own top tips when it comes to renovating?
Well, I think, well, and that's very kind of you to say that, by the way, but I think taking your projects slowly and really thinking about them is very important. It sounds kind of crazy for a designer to say, you know, just maybe paint the whole room just a neutral color to start with before you start thinking about the wallpaper or the furniture or the curtains or the blinds. It's just keeping an eye on the changing light, how you use that room. All these things are really critical, and you've got to kind of really know a space very well before you start thinking about, well, I'm going to use this beautiful paint color or this fabric, whatever it is. So slowly is my approach. I would always encourage people to make, they can be digital mood boards or physical mood boards, you know, magazine, literally pulling magazines apart, which we've always done. Designers have always done that, made physical mood boards for clients and then presented them. These days you can make digital ones on platforms like Pinterest, which are really good and really helpful, I think, to encourage people to decorate. And we've all sort of become very good at our mood boarding and Pinterest and Instagram searches and taking that decorating really to heart. So I'm seeing this a massive change from just your pale whites, off-whites, and your soft beiges and grays. There's much more color being used, which I think is really interesting, because I'm a firm believer in that the home can really heal. You know, it's only decorating and it's a big, bold statement, but I think that well-being comes from the environment that we're in as well. So I think it's really important. And so all those, you know, the research that says 20% of us are planning Easter DIY jobs, you know, do it carefully, do it with thought, do it with intent, and get it right, and then manage your waste at the end of it responsibly as well. And it just will make you feel really good.
And when you finished one particular job, Linda, and you've actually cleared up, say, the kitchen, that's been sorted out, do you automatically start thinking ahead to the next one? Is it a case of within your home, there's always a never-ending sort of change of things? You think, maybe we could just adjust this as well.
Well, it can be like that. I think it's really dependent on you, the individual that lives there, or your family. For me, I tend to just blast through the whole space, like this house here that needed everything doing. I just stripped it all back to its basics, yeah. Saw its bare bones, and then knew how to approach it. That can be really intimidating. So a room at the time is a very good approach, and much less stressful, I think. I think whatever goes, you know, it depends who's living there as well. And, you know, we're working from home, so we have to be aware of the home and office environment. I know the kids are back at school, but, you know, when the kids were being homeschooled, you don't want everything crazy, because it really kind of, that craziness messes with your headspace as well. So go carefully, consider your purchases, make that purchase once, certainly on those big ticket items like the sofa or the kitchen or the bathroom, you know, make sure that you choose really well and have that kind of environmental message in the back of your mind as well.
And that in particular is why Linda Barker is by far the best interior designer you could ever wish for. In terms of the sort of website to go to, hippowaste.co.uk, presumably, Linda, will be
the one to
check out from that point of view. In terms of the Hippo Waste thing, we've got two final questions for your good self, of course, the fairly critical ones, using new technology, inevitably. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today?
I love Zoom. I'm addicted to Zoom every time.
This is good news. So the next critical question is, can we prevail upon you to join us again? Will you come back sometime in the not-too-distant future and share with us more wondrous words from Yorkshire?
It'd be an absolute pleasure to join you again, Alex.
There you are. Huge thanks. Linda Barker, TV presenter extraordinaire and interior designer. And she's from Yorkshire, and she's back in Yorkshire. Yay! We salute you. Take care. Have a great time. And have a very happy Easter.
Thank you. And you.
Well, 168 hours in a week, and I suppose if you aren't commuting and you're working from home, you should actually feel that you should be using every single second of those 168 hours. No, don't do it. You need to take time out. In fact, a recent survey has suggested that actually you will be much better and much more refreshed if you do take a break. And the best person to actually talk about this recent survey by, of course, Readly, is the awesome actress and general Renaissance woman. It's the fabulous Donna Eyre. How are you, Donna?
Oh, I'm very good after that intro. Thank you, Alex.
Oh, it's absolutely essential. We like to sort of feel that from the north, we civilise the rest of the world, let alone anything else from that point of view.
That was a very favourable intro, yes, thank you.
Well, it is. Very important. Now, this particular survey, which most people would kind of on an intuitive level tend to think, well, of course we do. Of course we feel better and refreshed after we've taken a break. You know, I mean, we've all this sort of online material that's actually there. And yet, actually, maybe we're not looking after ourselves, Donna. I mean, in terms of actually coordinating that, most workers apparently just taking two breaks a day that last only 12 minutes. That's 720 seconds. I mean, surely not enough to do anything, really.
No, I think a lot of us are taking a lot less breaks since we've been working at home. When you think about how many extra roles we've got, you know, we're cooking from home, working from home, schooling from home, everything from home. And in a normal workplace, we probably would actually take more breaks. So I think it's really important that we're quite disciplined about that, no matter what we've got going on. You know, we all feel better after a break. This is proven. And I just think we need to do it. It's amazing how many people of us, many of us feel guilty for even taking a short break.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I was looking at sort of my own sort of personal record just this morning, basically. I'm kind of attending an online virtual conference. I've dealt with two or three student queries about dissertations. I've had a full seminar session which dealt with student presentations as well, and squeezing in some Zoom interviews. So, yeah, you need to take time to relax. Yourself, probably even more busy in terms of your coordination.
I think all of us. I think there's also been some, there's been a lot of research about how busy women are as well, especially, you know, we're just sort of looking after our families, we're, you know, checking in with all of our friends. There's a lot to be done. And I think it's about giving yourself permission that it's okay. You know, we should be top of the list, because if we don't look after ourselves, we're no use to anybody else anyway. So we really have got to put ourselves top of the list and not feel bad for doing so.
Now, intriguing to find is that in terms of the most common time to actually take a break, it's not 10 o'clock, it's not the 11 o'clock, the 11 Z's, as the Hobbits might have once said, 11:45 a.m. That's the traditional time for actually taking a break.
Oh, is it? How interesting. Yeah, I'm quite an, I like a break in the afternoon, you see.
Yeah,
I'm more of an afternoon break girl. I like to get out to the park around 3 or 4 o'clock before, well, we've got lighter evenings now, which helps. But, you know, in the, that winter, if you didn't get out before four, you're sort of screwed for the rest of the day.
This is very true. And of course, looking at some of the activities that you mentioned, actually going out for a walk, 37% of those surveyed actually want to simply actually head to the bedroom to get some peace and quiet, which is, again, I think interesting in its own way. And clearly, the domestic situation, as you said, with us all, well, obviously experiencing the world of lockdown, etc. I suppose presumably that me time and that time to actually maybe, I don't know, maybe use the Readly app to actually read some magazines could actually be useful.
Absolutely. It's quite a good one. And it's a real way of, I think, you know, I've always loved magazines. And what I do like about this one is you can get over 5,000 magazines on your one subscription. So it's very good value. But also, magazines are a great way to get new inspiration, whether we are decorating at home or we're, you know, thinking about taking that trip when we finally can do so. It's just, you know what, it takes you out of your current. And it just, for me, I've always loved that sort of inspiration you get from magazines, even if it's the sort of dresses I'm going to be getting for my summer holiday when I finally get one.
I mean, it is interesting, Donna. You've also come up with a list of possible sort of things that one needs to be aware of in terms of, as I say, giving yourself some me time. I mean, you mentioned obviously reading magazines. I also like the aspect which is spending time with people that feed your soul, not the energy vampires, but people who feed your soul.
You know, I think getting to the park, my days are always better if I've been able to have a socially distanced walk with somebody, and just, especially, you know, there are a lot of single parents, a lot of people living on their own. And whilst, yes, we're thankful to technology and being able to check in with people, there's nothing quite like just having a real conversation. You know, somebody that makes you laugh, is that not just the best thing ever? We've all got those friends, the ones that we just belly laugh with. They're the ones we should be connecting to.
It works in every sense of the word. Prioritising yourself, of course, very important. And also, I suppose, getting in touch with the inner self, the needs to actually meditate and maybe just reflect on ways in which one takes care of oneself. I mean, that's something which I suspect, Donna, with your maternal commitments, your commitments as a parent, with the actress work, the acting work, etc. Sometimes it is difficult to get centred, I suppose. I mean, that's the traditional sort of actor's method of actually using, whether it's the Alexandra relaxation technique, or just getting focused on the inner self.
I think, do you know what? I really feel my body relax a lot, actually, whether I'm on set or just at home, just actually getting in a dark room and lying on the bed for 20 minutes. It's amazing what that does to you, whether you're meditating or just, in my case, sometimes often fall asleep for a snooze. Just letting the body actually sink down and relax. And when it gets to that deep relaxation for 20 minutes, it's, you know, you've just got that energy again to get through the sort of next part of the day or the evening. I'm a big advocate in just taking that time out, no matter what time in the day it is.
Do you think the siesta is vastly underrated? I mean, it used to be sort of poured scorn on the siesta, but maybe, as I say, Spain and other countries actually had a head start on us there.
I think it's one of the most underrated things ever. My friends will definitely know how much I am. I love a nap, and I take no shame in saying it if I can. I mean, they're not very often, but you know, sometimes if I've got the house to myself, or you know, I will get into bed quite happily for half an hour, and I just feel that whole second wind to get through the evening much happier for everyone than I would have done previously.
I also like to think a digital detox can sometimes help, where you actually just switch off the telecommunication systems and again focus on that, and give ourselves, our own minds, time to actually have that organic reboot.
Yeah, just, you know, light a candle, do something really peaceful. But obviously everybody's different. That's what works for me. There's all sorts of things that we can really do. I think the important thing is, no matter how short the break, is just to make sure we're actually taking them.
And returning back to magazines, of course, with respect to Readly, I mean, what a bonus that Diet Coke fans can actually get a 2 months free trial to the Readly service with a promotional offer that's launching until the 18th of April. So, I mean, you know, you can actually sort of have your favourite sort of Diet Coke drink and a Readly subscription. I mean, it just gets more wonderful up by the day.
Exactly. Have your drink and drink it, or whatever sort of you're taking.
Well, It's a way forward. It's a way of actually taking a break. There was actually another well-known brand, which you may well be too young to remember, the chocolate biscuit brand that always said, have a break, have a so-and-so. But anyway, it's all connected together there. I think it all deals with kittens or such like, but there we are. Donna, where can people actually go to for further information? Would it be by any chance readly.com?
Absolutely, definitely. You can just check out their website, which is www.readly.com.
And well, that also includes Donna's top tips for personal me time and relaxation. Where can people find out about those as well?
You can, you know, follow my Instagram, which is at Donna Air, or obviously on the Readly app or website.
It's been fabulous, as we knew it would be, as indeed it always is. Donna, we've got two final questions for you, slightly adapted for the new technology, but I'm sure you'll still appreciate them. Firstly, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today?
Have I had an interesting
Zoomer? It's a technical term I'm using for actually we're using Zoom. So why not actually say, has it been a good Zoomer?
So it's not a Zumba, it's a Zoomer. Very nice.
True. Although actually, Donna, you could have actually opened up a whole new field there in terms of Zomba Zoomers, which could actually open up a whole new series. So
exactly.
well worth developing. So the next critical question following up with that one is, will you be kind enough to return? Will you come back to us, Donna, in the not too distant future?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you.
Donna Air, actress extraordinaire, huge thanks. Keep on keeping on and stay well.
Yes, you too. Thanks, guys.